Jordan, what is happening at these two buildings? What's going on?
Unfortunately, what's happening at these properties on Webster Street is what we're colloquially calling the rent evictions. It's generally it's an N13 document, and the premise is that they're being evicted on the grounds that these units require extensive renovations, enough that it warrants evicting these tenants.
And how many people are affected?
Don't have a final count in front of me at the moment, but it's dozens of families, these are some of the most vulnerable people in our community. I had the opportunity, we had a meeting last night in the local Beacock Library to discuss some of these issues and figure out what we can do and next steps to stop this.
What did you hear from the folks last night? They must be just incredibly worried.
They're devastated. This is their homes on the line. And again, this is some of the most vulnerable of our population in the city. These are our elderly. These are disabled. These are the poor and working class of London. And they're being steamrolled with this.
The buildings were just recently purchased by a company in Toronto as well. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And I noticed that when you were mentioning the landlord, it's really important to note that the landlord in this, we have no idea who the landlord is in this case. In this case, this is very common. This is very indicative of the issue at hand. This company is a numbered company, and it doesn't even, we found out last night, it doesn't even exist anymore, but it exists enough for them to fill a loophole that they are still able to buy this property up. And like you said, they're looking to enact these rent evictions in order to evict these longstanding vulnerable tenants, because they know that by doing that, bypassing most of Ontario residency laws and our Tenancies Act, they can double the rent and maximize their profit.
What does the law say about giving these tenants the options of moving back in once the renovations are completed?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's a really good point Acorn is standing on the rooftops trying to raise the red flags about. We have strong laws and strong protections for tenants' rights in Ontario. What we don't have is anybody guarding the gates. There's nobody protecting them. And our landlord-tenant board, severely underfunded. They can't, and we're still pushing people through with these Zoom tribunals, to a point where they're calling it, the idea is to speed up the system, but it's justice denied on every level, because, like I said, these are some of the most poor and vulnerable of our population. If you can imagine going to a court, through a court system, and it's rushed through a Zoom trial, they've got moments to access duty counsel and moments to go through what could be pages and pages.
Because
of evidence.
The law does say they should be given the first right to move back in at the same price as they were paying before the renovation. Is that right?
Absolutely. There's a few things, and it's really blatantly obvious. I had a chance to read the letter that was given to these tenants last night, and there's a few points that, again, blatant violation of Ontario law, blatantly immoral. And the biggest points are, one is there's the language in there says that their lease will be terminated on the 31st, and that's just not true. They absolutely, there's two scenarios here that can happen, and one is that those renovations that are necessary are severe enough that they would warrant that the tenants do need to move out. If that's the case, then those tenants have the absolute right to return of first refusal. They have the right to come back to their apartment at the same rate that they were paying when they left. And there's nothing in these letters to indicate that.
And so what are you advising the tenants then right now?
Stand your ground. And honestly, if you're tired of being pushed around, it's time to stand up. We have these rights. We have these protections in Ontario, but no one's going to protect us if we don't stand up for ourselves. But also, there is hope when we stand together. And if anyone, especially if you're in the Carling Stony Brook area and you're available over the next month, at the end of this month on the 27th, it's a Saturday, we're going to having our new chapter launch for the Stony Brook Carling area. Acorn thrives on people power and on, you know, community driven grassroots support. And, we're devastated by what's happening now, but at the same time, we're optimistic because we know that we are providing the service that we're where we need to be. We are what people need right now. Mm-hmm. And,
you're asking people to stand their ground. What are you doing to help them do that, I guess? Because it's challenging. I mean, these are people with money, and it's a company with money, and how do they do that against that?
Absolutely. It's an uphill battle all the way, and there's a lot of losses to wins, and sometimes it's hard to look at the ratio. The truth is, like, Acorn fights at all levels of government, from a municipal and local level right up through to a national level, where we have a very pragmatic national housing strategy. That's one of the reasons I joined them and why I'm so passionate about working with them, is because all the ideas that come forward and come to the top with Acorn came through grassroots organization, and they're filtered through true democracy, as in that, you know, the ideas that work are the ideas that stuck around, and those are the ideas that we've been passing along.
Okay, Jordan, thank you for joining us. We do have this story up on our website as well if people want to learn more about what's going on. But Jordan Smith, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so